Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome into the program. Happy Monday to you, and also welcome into a new week here on the program. And it's a big week here on WBSM because this coming Friday night, we're going to have a special guest coming to the studio, and we're going to have a special guest broadcast on Friday night. Now, I know it's Friday the 13th. It's not Jason Voorhees that's coming into the studio. That would not be very entertaining radio. Since, you know, Jason Voorhees doesn't speak. But it will be one of the most sought after people this time of year. And although he has a lot of commitments, he likes to carve out time here each year. Now, to come and visit us here at WBSM, Santa Claus will be here on Friday night, beginning at 7 p.m. We're going to have Santa Claus. Thanks to New Bedford Fire Union Local 841, they have the inside track. They know the big guy, Santa Claus, not Joe Biden. And so they made some calls last year and said, Santa, the kids that listen to WBSM, their parents, they know that, you know, you're very busy, but they'd love to have you come on the radio so the kids can call in and tell you what they want for Christmas. And so we're going to do that this Friday night. We did it last year. Phone lines were lit up the entire time. We did an hour-long program with Santa. And so we asked him to come back, and he said, listen, I'll come back, but I need you to give me 2 hours so that we can make sure we get all the boys and girls a chance to call in. So it'll be happening this Friday, beginning at 7 p.m., right here on WBSM. And you'll be able to hear it on WBSM 1420 AM, 99.5 FM. You'll be able to hear it on WBSM.com. You'll be able to hear it on the WBSM app. So if grandma and grandpa live down in Florida and they want to hear their grandchildren call in and speak to Santa, they'll be able to listen to it on the app. And if for some reason the family can't listen live, it'll be available via podcast. What I'll probably do is I'll probably make it part of the, because I'll be here with Santa. I'm going to be pushing the buttons. So we'll probably just make it part of, I'll add it into my podcast. And then we'll have it up at WBSM.com and on the app as well for you to play later on. But I did see, I spent a little bit of time out of the house on Saturday. Had a paranormal event up in Weymouth at the Emery Estate. And I was doing some shopping for the event. And I also headed on over to the Horror Family, the horror store in downtown New Bedford, to meet Art the Clown. If you read the story that we had last week, Jeremy Atkinson, who turned his life around. He was associating with a dangerous crowd and people that get into trouble. And he said, you know, I've got to turn my life around. And he did that through cosplay. That was part of the inspiration. After his friend was killed in an act of violence, and he said, you know, I'm going to finally follow through on that thing that we had always discussed, my friend and I, about getting out there and doing more cosplay. And he did a fantastic job as Art the Clown. They had a lot of people going down. I got some photos taken with him. But as I was leaving the store and driving through downtown and then went and did some shopping for the event, saw a lot of people that seemed to be in the holiday spirit. Saw a lot of cars that have been decorated. And that's, you know, that's a relatively new phenomenon. Decorating your cars. People have been doing it for, you know, a long time, that they've been putting the reindeer antlers on. They've been putting the red Rudolph nose on the front. You kind of saw a lot of that over the last 20 years or so. But this new phenomenon, relatively new phenomenon, of actually putting Christmas lights on your car, like actual Christmas lights, like covering your car in lights. And there's a few on the South Coast that are completely decked out. And the question that people ask when they see it is that even legal? So there's actually no law that says that you can't do that. You just can't have flashing colors that are the colors of an emergency vehicle. And you can't do anything that limits the visibility of the driver. So you can't block your windshield, your mirrors, your side view mirrors, your side windows. You can't have the lights flash. You can't have them rotate because that might be mistaken for emergency signals. We had the story up at WBSM.com with all the info a couple weeks ago. And again, it can't be red or blue lights because those are for emergency vehicles. And nowadays, because LED lights are consistent, LED lights are programmable. LED lights can probably be run off a car cigarette lighter, although I'm sure some of these vehicles are using inverters to power up some of their lights. But you can get some pretty significant lights that you can put on the outside of your car. But just remember, you don't want them flashing. You just want them to be solidly lit up. But you can program that pattern. You can program those colors as long as they're not red or blue. And if, as long as you follow all of those regulations, then yes, it is legal. I don't even like putting lights up on the outside of the house, so I couldn't imagine I'd want to do it on the car, but to those who want to, we appreciate your effort. Driving around with some of that holiday spirit. It's funny because Friday I wasn't here, so, you know, long story short, my, I guess now, ex-wife and I have been separated for years, but we just never formalize things and got the formal divorce. So that's what I just went to court to take care of that with her. And, you know, everything's amicable. It was fun. But I was listening to Paul a little bit on my way up. And then I was, of course, here at the beginning of his show doing some work before I went over to the courthouse. And I heard the music selection that he was playing, and I was getting messages from people saying, oh, the seal is broken. He's playing Christmas music. I'm still not going to play Christmas music. It's too early for me. I would say maybe next week we'll get into it. Because I want to make sure that, you know, I have a few days to play some. As opposed to, you know, just having Monday and Tuesday the week of Christmas. But also, we will have Christmas music on Christmas Eve and on Christmas morning. But in terms of playing it for bumper music, I know the other hosts have all been doing it. Not me. Another week at least before I'll do that. I have a very specific window. It's like a week before Christmas at the earliest. Sometimes I get a little bit early on that if I'm driving around listening, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I actually was very upset last week because I got Whamageddoned by Barry Richard. You know, if you're not familiar with Whamageddon, it's where you try to go as long as you can each holiday season without hearing Last Christmas by Wham. And I love the fact that that's the song that people picked to kind of make this game out of, because it's a subtle song. It's the kind of song that you could walk into a store and it's playing and you don't even realize it's playing until you're like, ah, damn, I got Whamageddoned. And I don't really like get too hardcore about it because I love Wham. But I was sitting in my desk, which is in my office right across from the WBSM studio. And when Barry's in here, Barry, of course, as you know, has hearing issues. So he's got everything super loud. And Barry talks super loud. So I hear the entire Barry Richard show through the doors of the studio and my office. The only thing I don't hear is the callers. And I'm just sitting there doing my work, minding my own business, and he's previewing, you know, queuing up the song for coming back from the break, and he played Last Christmas. I was like, damn it, I just got Whamageddoned through the door by Barry. I guess he was unfamiliar with Whamageddon. I told him about it afterwards. So anyway, there's a little bit of the holiday spirit for you. Later on this morning, we're going to be hearing about the Sacred Birthing Village. This is part of the South Coast Health Community Spotlight. South Coast Health has decided to shine the spotlight on other local organizations in the community to showcase the great work that they do. So we're going to learn about the Sacred Birthing Village a little bit later on this morning. And tomorrow we're going to speak with Assistant Deputy Chief for the New Bedford Police Department, Scott Carolla, about their ongoing toy drive. And of course, we still have our Mini Miracle campaign going on at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. If you would like to make a donation to young Scarlett and her mom, Megan, we are collecting donations through the month. And all the information about how to donate is right there on WBSM.com and on the app. You can text to donate. You can use a credit card on the United Way website or a debit card. Or if you feel better sending a check, you can send that to the United Way's office. All the information is right there in the story. And we're still getting donations rolling in. We're still getting people reaching out and business owners reaching out and saying, how can I help? And we appreciate that. And certainly if you're unsure or if you're looking to do something a little bit more significant, you can reach out to me, Tim at WBSM.com, and I can set you up with Victoria. But the outpouring of support that we've seen already has been incredible, and we thank you for all of that. And since we're in the giving mood, we're going to be giving away tickets all this week to see Earth, Wind, and Fire at Mohegan Sun on December 18th. If you want to enter to win a pair of tickets to that, you can do so right now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And I was looking at the set list for some of the recent shows that Earth, Wind, and Fire have been playing, and I think you're going to hear everything you'd ever want to hear. It's an amazing set list. Seems like it's a show that lasts quite a long time. And of course, it's Earth, Wind, and Fire, so you know that the show is a spectacle. It will be a performance. So you can enter to win those at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Wouldn't that be a nice early Christmas gift to be able to take somebody out to see the legendary Earth, Wind, and Fire? And that ticket giveaway, as with all the ticket giveaways here on the Tim Weisberg Show, are brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, and where I had some really good stuff at the tasting on Friday night. I said to myself, you know what? I was picking up my Rackhouse Club bag for the month. Very good bourbon in there. But I was picking up my bag, and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy myself one other thing. And I kind of put a price limit on myself of what I was going to spend. And I ended up trying something that I don't normally drink. I tried a tequila. I think it's called Pache. I don't know. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I should have asked. But it's P-A-T-S-E-H. And it comes in a bottle that looks, you know, like I was calling it glass knuckles because there's finger holes in the bottle for picking it up and pouring it. And I'm normally not a tequila drinker at all. I don't like it. Like, I'll have a margarita, but I'm not drinking tequila straight. And the person pouring this is like, well, this is considered more like, it tastes more like a bourbon to some people than a tequila. And so I tried and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. So I spent a little bit more than I planned, but I brought that home. That was my divorce celebration. I was having a glass of that when I got home. But that's the great part about these tastings and that experience at Stevie's is you get to try new things you wouldn't have tried before and then realize, oh, I do like that. And I know they'll have another one coming up in January, as well as their pop-up tastings that happen that you can follow along on social media to find out about. All right, I'm going to take a break here. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemail on the WBSM app. Coming up a little bit later, too, I've got a question for today that I want to pose to you. And it has to do with movies again. We had such a big response last time. So I'm going to ask a question about movies coming up. But we'll just tease it with that. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back. And hopefully, if you go walking in your sleep, you're doing it in your dreams and not in actuality. I've never been a sleepwalker, at least that I'm aware of. But I did have some issues when I was a kid where I thought that I was, but my parents swear it never happened. But that's a scary thing, sleepwalking. I mean, my son used to come out of his room and, you know, you could tell he wasn't quite awake. But I never thought that it would. Well, no, he kind of was a sleepwalker, yeah. But I would not want to go through that. certainly wouldn't want to wake up somewhere other than where I fell asleep. There was always that unnerving feeling when you fell asleep in the car as a kid. You woke up and you had no idea where you were. You know, it's one thing when you know where you're going. Like, you know the route, but when you're young and you're still learning all that, you're like, wait a minute, where are we? I have no idea. And it's very disorienting. Even though, you know, your mom and dad are driving, you're still a little bit weirded out by it. So I can only imagine that's what sleepwalkers feel like when they wake up, like, wait, how did I get here? 508-996-0500. And I said that I would be posing a movie question for today, and I will. When we come back from the news, we'll talk about this movie story, and then I will pose the question that I think we might get some interesting responses out of. But right now, let me turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
The Syrian government collapses. What President Biden had to say. President-elect Trump talks deportation plans. And what's the best Christmas song of all time?
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden says at long last the Assad regime has fallen in Syria. Speaking from the White House on Sunday, Biden said the U.S. will work with other allies in the Middle East to protect the region from ISIS and other terrorist factions while supporting an independent Syria. Biden spoke briefly following a meeting with his national security team after Syrian rebels toppled the government of President Bashar al-Assad and captured the Syrian capital of Damascus. The U.S. military has about 900 troops stationed in northeastern Syria, defending against Islamist militants. Israeli forces are claiming Hezbollah violated a ceasefire agreement Sunday. Israel Defense Forces said the Israeli Air Force struck a storage facility in southern Lebanon after alleging Hezbollah was operating within a weapons storage facility, which it claims was a violation of the ceasefire because members were operating there. The IDF went on to say it was only operating according to the agreement and maintained ceasefire conditions on its end. President-elect Trump says children born in the U.S. could be deported if their parents are in the country illegally. In an interview with NBC's Meet the Press, Trump said he doesn't want to break up families, and so children may have to leave alongside their undocumented parents once he takes office. Trump also reaffirmed his commitment to ending birthright citizenship. He also appeared to say his administration's deportation efforts would go well beyond undocumented immigrants convicted of crimes and target others as well. Despite the comments, Trump insisted he wants to keep immigrants who are so-called dreamers, those brought to the U.S. as children and enrolled in the DACA program. The manhunt for the gunman who shot and killed the CEO of a major healthcare company now in day six. Authorities believe the suspect left the New York City area shortly after Wednesday's attack in Midtown Manhattan. The FBI and law enforcement agencies around the country are helping the NYPD, and photos of the suspect have been posted at patrol stations along the Mexican and Canadian borders. The FBI is offering a $50,000 reward for information leading to the suspect's arrest. The NYPD offering an additional $10,000. Judy Garland's ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz have sold at auction for $28 million. Heritage Auctions in Dallas says it's the most valuable movie memorabilia ever sold at auction. With house commissions, the total price for the iconic slippers came to over $32 million. The slippers are one of four surviving pairs that Garland wore in the 1939 film. The other original slippers have also sold at auction, but not for nearly as much. That was not the only Wizard of Oz memorabilia sold this weekend. The black hat worn by the Wicked Witch, also up for auction, sold for $2 million. And according to a list compiled by Newsweek, the most popular Christmas song ever made is Bing Crosby's White Christmas, officially released in 1942. The hit was the title track of Crosby's White Christmas musical and quickly became a favorite of members of the United States Armed Forces. Other songs that topped the list include Crosby's Silent Night, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, Gene Autry's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Band-Aid's Do They Know It's Christmas to round out the top five.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins in Canada to play the Winnipeg Jets on Tuesday. Celtics home to play the Detroit Pistons on Thursday. Patriots back at it Sunday in Arizona to play the Cardinals.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Increasing clouds today with light to moderate rain developing in the afternoon. Rainfall amounts likely reach near a half inch by tonight. Tuesday will be overcast in between storm systems. As for temperatures, a high of 47 degrees today and 45 degrees on Tuesday. This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And I always like the story behind George Harrison covering that song. So a lot of people didn't realize when that came out that that was a cover. Because I guess the James Ray version in 1962 wasn't a huge hit. But what happened was, see, George Harrison had been to the United States before the Beatles came in February of 1964. You can watch that documentary that's on Disney Plus right now about the Beatles in 1964. And it's a great documentary. And you see some good behind the scenes stuff and get to see more of the personality of the Beatles at that time. But that was not George Harrison's first trip to the States. He actually had come here about 5 months before in 1963 to visit his sister who was living in Illinois. And while he was here, he went into a record shop and purchased James Ray's I've Got My Mind Set on You. And then he did a cover of it on his 1987 album, Dark Horse. I'm sorry, Cloud Nine on the Dark Horse label. And I remember that video. I remember watching Nick Rocks every night at 6 o'clock after dinner or before dinner, depending on when we ate. Or maybe that was on at 6:30. I forget. But I was anxiously awaiting watching that video because in that video, George Harrison sitting in a chair in a little house, but every appliance in the house is like moving to the song. It was a great video. And even then I was a big Beatles fan. So I liked all the stuff that the Beatles did separately. But yeah, always a cool story behind so much of the Beatles' work, both together and independently. So I had mentioned we were going to have a movie question. You heard Phil give you that story about the ruby slippers. That story is a little bit even deeper than just the ruby slippers being auctioned off. They had been stolen. And I had to like do a little... I had to read like multiple stories to get the whole story behind these stolen ruby slippers. But they were in a museum, the Judy Garland Museum in her hometown of Grand Rapids, Minnesota. And in 2005, Terry John Martin used a hammer to smash the glass of the museum's door and the display case and stole the ruby slippers. They were missing until 2018 when the FBI recovered them. And then in 2023, Martin was indicted, and that was the first time people knew that he was the thief. He pleaded guilty in October 2023 and was sentenced last January to time served because of poor health. He's in a wheelchair and he's on oxygen and he's 77 years old and he had had a history of burglary and this was his attempt to make one last big score before he retired from his burglary career. And so he stole this because one of his associates who had connections to the mob told him that the shoes must be adorned with real rubies if it was in, if they were insured for $1 million. But it turns out the rubies were just glass. They were insured for $1 million because they're the ruby slippers from the Wizard of Oz. But the museum that he stole them from didn't own them. They were on loan from a private collector. And that private collector had them returned to him when the FBI recovered them, and he decided to put them up to auction. So the Judy Garland Museum actually tried to, they were one of the bidders, but they got far outbid. They were expected to get just a couple of million, which was already more money than the museum had been able to scratch up for their bid. But they were expected to go for a couple of million, and instead they went for $28 million. So my question to you is, what movie prop would you most want to own? And I posted the question on Facebook, on the WBSM Facebook page, but you can call in with your answers, 508-996-0500. You can send an app chat message with your answer. You can send an open line voicemail with your answer on the WBSM app. But what movie prop would you most like to own? And I'm going to have to make the caveat here that it is just a prop. So it's something that you would own for collectability or sentimental value, like not because it does what it does in the movie. So you can't say, I would love to have the DeLorean from Back to the Future so I can travel in time. It doesn't actually travel in time. You can't say you'd like to have a proton pack from Ghostbusters so that you can actually go out and bust ghosts, because those weren't really unlicensed nuclear accelerators. So just keep in mind, it will be just a prop. But what movie prop would you most like to own? I think the DeLorean or the Ecto-1, both of those would be high on my list. I think Pee-wee Herman's bicycle might be on my list. The original clown doll from Poltergeist, that might be on my list too. I'm sure they had more than one. I'm sure they didn't rip up the only one they had. But what about you? What would you most want to own? And for some people, it'll be the coolness of the prop. For other people, it'll be the connection to the film. I wouldn't mind owning an original Gremlin from the Gremlins movies. Especially if I could actually, you know, puppeteer it. I think most of my answers would probably come from 80s movies. Maybe the suitcase from Pulp Fiction for something from the 90s, or the wallet that Samuel L. Jackson had that I can't say on the air. I actually had one of those in the 90s that I got at Spencer Gifts. But it'd be one thing to have the actual one. Sorry, I was just got distracted by the Storm Tracker has a Watch versus Warning logo graphic up, and I was trying to read it as I was speaking. because I didn't realize that it was as detailed as it was. I just thought a watch meant it might happen, and a warning means it is happening. But there's more involved than that. All right, anyway, I'm going to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll take a break quickly and be back in a few moments.
We've only got each other to blame. It's all the same to me, love, 'cause I know what I feel.
Welcome back in. My favorite Paul McCartney song. But I'm not really a big fan of his perennial Christmas hit, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. You know, I find it a little bit too inane. But I did recently see, you know, this meme going around over the last couple of years where it says it's a song about a Wiccan ritual where somebody walks in and they're like, the moon is up, the spirit's bright, that's enough, we're here tonight. Like, that's the part that's like the ritual. And then somebody shows up and like, just simply having a wonderful Christmas time. And it's like, no, we're not pagans. No, no. And it's a little bit more funnier when you look at it through that lens. But there was a quote that John Lennon had around the time, you know, that Paul McCartney was making some of those solo songs and stuff with Wings, and about how it was, you know, just cheesy stuff. And a lot of it is, but that doesn't make it any less enjoyable. Anyway, 508-996-0500. There's a story that Barry Richard has at WBSM.com. You can check it out there or on the WBSM app. But New Bedford City Councilor Ian Abreu is a finalist for the interim Fairhaven Town Administrator position. So Angie Lopes-Ellison and the Select Board of Fairhaven parted ways a short time ago, and they couldn't. She I guess she'd been interviewing for positions in other towns, and for those who've been following the drama that's been going on there, you know, there's a lot of people who were upset about the job that she did. She felt like there was some that there was some bias that people had against her. And it was probably just best for both sides to move on. But so now they need to find, I guess, an interim town administrator. And I'm not sure why they're looking for an interim. I don't know if somebody has to finish off her current contract before they can get a new. I don't know why it's interim. And I kept looking for something that would explain that, and I didn't find anything. But I'm sure Chris McCarthy knows more about that. He's been following that story very closely. But Ian Abreu did confirm to Barry Richard that he is a finalist for the position of interim Fairhaven Town Administrator, and he will interview with a 3-member search committee today, and is one of 4 finalists for the interim position. And this would not require him to step down as a city councilor. So don't be concerned about that. As Barry points out in the article, Fall River City Councilor Sean Kadeem is the town administrator for Seekonk and is also under consideration for that role for Dartmouth. So, you know, just being a city councilor in Fairhaven, there's not a conflict of interest there. So you can hold both positions. One is an elected position, obviously, and one is an appointed position. The only thing that I will say is I hope that it doesn't slow Ian down from continuing to crank out delicious new flavors of Silmo and good food down at Surfside Creamery. I don't think it will. I think he's setting himself up here to be able to pursue things that challenge him and motivate him and interest him while also being a business owner at the same time. A successful business owner doesn't want to have to be the person being there every day. So good luck to him and to the other candidates for that position. They will be interviewing today. I don't know when a decision will be announced, but we will let you know if we hear something on that. All right, I got to take another break here. I have thought I had more time, but I don't. We'll be back in just a few moments. Hey, well, I threw out the question today. What movie prop would you most want to own? The ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz just went for $28 million. And in fact, with all of the auction house fees, the buyer is going to pay like $32.5 million for the ruby slippers that Judy Garland wore in The Wizard of Oz. What movie prop would you most like to own? Malvo says, although it is a TV prop, I'll allow it.